is on exactly where we left off last week. Galatians chapter 6. And this week, we have the practical bits, what you actually have to do. And in case any may feel that St. Paul is contradicting himself here, we have to know that in verse 2, what he's talking about is something extra, special, really burdensome, out of the ordinary. Whereas in verse 5, he's talking about what Jesus called, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is normal, everyday life. So, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to somebody else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And this is the word of the Lord.
Just want to reflect back on that hymn that we were singing, which will become more apparent towards the end of that sermon. To be in his presence, to sit at the feet of Jesus, to let his love surround us. This is my desire. Just let's have a moment of quiet and sit at his feet and let his love surround us. Father of all, grant that the words of my mouth, the thoughts of all our hearts, may be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this is the last of our studies on Galatians. Before we move on to Colossians next week, one of my favorite short, concise summaries of the gospel accounts that Paul makes. So it's fallen to me to preach on this last of the subject materials, which is good works. It's fallen to me what I think is the hardest of the subjects. Well, I would say that, wouldn't I? If we were to study Paul's letters, we wouldn't find a concise list of instructions of thou shalt do this, thou shalt do that for the Christian life. Oh, it would be so much easier if it was so. So I've taken the easy way out And I thought, I'll just extract all those instructions that we had from our reading today. So if we have these coming up, and there they are, all coming up. I've actually added an additional two at the end. I hope it will get there. From chapter 5. Because I shall be relying on chapter 5 a little bit later on in our reflections. Now, I wanted to make a special note here about a couple of the things that are on that list. The first thing to note is that when Paul writes a letter, he is often aware of special circumstances, which we don't know. We don't know our brothers and sisters in Christ who were in Galatia at that time. So the very first thing that we notice about there is, restore the brother who is caught out in sin. I think Paul was writing about a particular person that was known to him and was known to the Galatians. He did it in his letter to the Corinthians. So I think this is a very specific point he's making about a specific person. And perhaps there has been some discipline carried out on that believer, and Paul is now writing to restore, for him to be restored. We shouldn't read too much into these things. There's a general principle at work here. The other thing I want to point out is the difference between carrying each other's burden, the second one, and the third one of each should carry their own load. Now, it seems like the same sort of idea going on, but they're not. If I take the load first, it's rather akin to having a rucksack filled with all the necessities that you need for a day's hill walking. So you've got your anorak, your compass, your a flask of tea, the dry fruit, the Kendall mint cake, various other supplies, dry socks, all those things. And as you go walking, that can feel a little bit of a weight, but it's only what you need. Whereas opposed to the burden, it's like taking that rucksack and fill it with a 100-weight bag of sand. Then go walking up the hills with that on your back. So that's they're immensely different. What does it mean? The rucksack for hill walking, that would be compared to carrying your own load. That's your everyday responsibilities, your duty of care to your family, to the wider community, and to the church. It's the things you do which are being given to you to do. You can't fob them off on somebody else. You have your work to do, get on and do it. The burden that is talked about, that's something completely different. That we can't tell exactly whether there was a circumstance that Paul was referring to. But it's a situation which is beyond the normal. It's where events in life have occurred to a person through sickness, through circumstances. It may even refer to a situation in which a person's faith is coming under attack. We don't know the exact situation. But it's looking and seeing to that person who is struggling with that burden in their daily life, and rather than ignoring it, going and helping. It actually raised a question in my mind. How often do we actually go on struggling with that load on our back and say, everything's okay, I'm okay, I don't need to ask for help? Has anybody been there? Anybody done that? Hands up, yeah. We've all done that. We're okay, we can manage in our own strength. It's actually, if I were to go on a diatribe and an exposition from John's letters, I would prove to you that in actual fact, not asking for help is actually being unloving to your Christian brothers and sisters, because you're not allowing them to help. I won't do that now. Unfortunately, that list, I've left some of the words out of the verses. Some of you might have been noticing that and saying, he's got this wrong. So, just to bring a little bit of clarity, they're going to come up all rather slowly. But it's the first four where I've actually added the words in. Are we there yet? Nearly. So the first one is serve one another in love. The second one, love your neighbor. That is the summation of the law. The entire law is summed up in one command: love your neighbor as yourself. And the fourth one, carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Just an aside on the third one. You who are spiritual should gently restore the one who is caught in sin. Okay, you who are spiritual, what does that mean? Does it mean the vicar? Does it mean some super spiritual person? No. It means those who know they have been loved by God, have been born again in the Spirit, as all Christians are, and are being in step with the Spirit in their day-to-day life. That means, I hope, you and me. Now, I think, with a caveat to that, there is some nod to maturity. But that maturity is to do with your Christian life, not with your age. So it's something we are all asked to do, as that will come a little bit clearer again as we go on. Now the last thing is where I'm going to go on dodgy ground. Because twice on that list, it says the law. And you might be thinking that based on this, I'm saying you've got to fulfill the law, or you have to have this new law, the law of Christ. And to get into heaven, you've got to comply with this law. Now I can see the church wardens getting ready to heave me away from the stand here, because of course we'll have heard in our previous discussions from Galatians that if anybody were to stand up and say and add anything to the gospel message of salvation through the grace of the God and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then throw him out of your midst. It was as strong as that. I want to go a little bit further with these particular things. You actually take that off now, if you can. It's here that I want to go back into chapter 5. So I want to have a look at what it is that compels us to do good works. I think it is all to do with that idea of a change in our outlook on life. There's something new within us. Now, I am not saying for one moment that those outside the church are not capable of doing good works. Of course, that would be wrong. And I'm sure some of their motivations are very honorable and good. But this is what is entailed upon us, of what we are given. And if we can have the next slide up, please. These particular internal, what I've put down as the dynamic within us that takes us forward. You'll know these, three sets of three, I'm sure. You'll have learnt this at some stage, perhaps, within junior church. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah, there's some good things to have within our lives, but where do they come from? Could I have the next, please? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Within the early church fathers and the writings, these are often written as virtues. And there a list of these you'll find quite often in Paul's letters. In Corinthians, there is love, faith, and hope. The greatest of these being love. In Colossians, you'll find a similar list when we get onto it. And in each of the letters, there's these lists of these internal things which are given to us. They're the imperative, the basis of our looking at the world and doing good. And if we look around, are we then to say that one person, because of what they're doing, has more of the Holy Spirit than another? That we have to have a bit more of the Holy Spirit than another to be able to do something? Of course, that's rubbish. We can't, by concentrating harder, we can't, by raising our hands higher in worship, get any more of the Holy Spirit. God gives his Holy Spirit as a mark and seal of the promise of our new life in him. It was the great secret that Nicodemus learnt from Jesus when he came to him at night. You must be born again of the Holy Spirit. And it's that new birth, that new creation that we become, that brings about a new set of attitudes in our life. Those set of attitudes which is best put forth in Matthew chapter 5, the be attitudes. The being the poor in spirit, feeling the need for spiritual refreshment and strength. To be mournful over the world in which we live. To be meek, seeking justice. To long for mercy. And preferring peace to division. These new kingdom ethics are what underlies everything that we do. So let's ponder again, just for one moment, the subject of today's sermon. If we can take that one off at the moment. I wanted to look again at the good that we're called to do. We had that list at the beginning of various things. Jesus himself told many parables about doing good. For instance, the Good Samaritan, the use of talents, the unforgiving servant, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Perhaps most telling is the parable of the sheep and the goats. Matthew 25, from which we derive the seven mercies, and those are going to come up now. Some of you might have learnt these when you were preparing for confirmation or baptism. It should have been. It's part of the longer catechism. There is one missing off there, which doesn't come from Matthew 25, and I'll tell you about that some other time, but it was an add-on. And can you remember the purpose of the story there was that Jesus said that unless you do these things unto the least of people, you will have no part in my kingdom. In other words, these are not optional extras. These are the basic things that, as a part of our new life, of merciful care of those around us, we see as just basic things. And it has happened within this church that somebody has seen a need, somebody else has passed it on, and it's been fulfilled, whereby the whole church working together, a need has been met. We can't all go and solve the world's problems. We are all asked to do our bit, whatever that bit may be. And that is the bit that I want us to think about today. Each person is given their own particular abilities. Actually, take that down now. As our reading stated, each of us must examine our own actions and assess how well we are doing in doing the work that God wants us to do. And the work that God wants us to do is often related to what is put in front of us, what we can see and hear. And God will perhaps open our eyes and open our ears to see and hear needs a little more. And then we are asked to play our part in fulfilling that need. And the works that we're asked to do, works of service, works within the church, works within the community. Seeing a need and meeting it. And we're asked again, assess how we're doing. When a particular task is given to us, our view should be, yeah, I did that well. I'm satisfied. I'm sure we've all done that at work where the particular problem has arisen, a sticky situations need a bit of thought, and you stand back after you did and say, yeah, I did a good job. I'm satisfied with that. And that's that good feeling. Yeah, get in. And you don't have to shout about it. It's just inside yourself. You know you've done something good and something you'll be proud of. I used to go around lots of sewage works in my youth and say to my children, yeah, I designed that one. Yeah, there we go. The trouble is, we often compare ourselves with others. Oh, I don't do half as much as so-and-so. Or they do so much more important stuff than I do. And we put ourselves down. It says, do not compare yourselves with others. Do the work that God has given you. And of course, there's the other view of, I'm doing so much better than they are. I'm so much more important than they are. I hope that never occurs. But just in case, give yourself a little slap on the wrist whenever and saying, yeah, thank you, God, I did it for you. And I'm happy to do that. Let us sum up what we've heard over the course of Galatians. First week, we heard the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. There is only one gospel. We heard from David again that we are children of God, that the Spirit is sent upon us, that Spirit of sonship which cries, Abba. We heard last week from Simon about being freedom from guilt and freedom from the nature of this world. And I've left it last. We heard from Kathy about our calling in Christ, that it's a special and unique thing for us. That encapsulates something of my talk today. I want to finish going back even before our course on Galatians started. Because when you hear something which is really, really good, it's worth repeating. I want to go back to Anne's sermon on, I think it was Trinity Sunday, actually. And if you can have this slide. Can you remember this if you were here? It was a really good sermon. If you didn't hear it, rush home, get on the internet, go to the All Saints site and listen back onto that sermon. Anne told us how from the earliest of ages we learn that incorrectly, that if we do something wonderful, we get praised and we get accepted. And so we take that off into the wider world of doing things, of being busy. We find our purpose in who we are and what we do. And we expect to be thanked and praised by our work colleagues, by our managers, by our families for what we do. And that was saying, that's the wrong model. That's not God's model. And she gave us the correct model. And just to remind us, and why I wanted to reflect a moment of bathing in the love of God, our starting point is that we are loved by God unconditionally. Jesus died for each one of us as though there were only one of us. The Holy Spirit came upon us and gave that spirit that enabled us to cry, Abba, Father. That's our acceptance point. Our sustenance is sitting and being in the love of God. Of those moments of quiet reflection, all too few in this busy world, of prayer, of fellowship with one another, of being built up together. And our significance is as that child of God, as God's chosen person. And from that, the Holy Spirit leads us on into works of service. And so we achieve what God wants us to achieve. And the final slide is the Bible reading, or part of, that Anne gave us at that week. And it's kind of where we want to finish off. For it is by grace that you have been saved, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. I pray that we will have our eyes opened and our ears opened to hear and see those things which God has prepared for each one of us to do, either individually or as a church, collectively, to meet the needs within this world in which we live. I think there's perhaps two responses. I would go back to that original list that we had of bearing one another's burdens. I would ask if anybody is burdened today, they would seek the assistance of somebody, perhaps in the prayer ministry after the service, or anybody within this congregation, to help them bear that burden. Perhaps the burden is for somebody else, but it's affecting you. There's also, perhaps, are those who are saying, I am seeking what it is that God wants me to do. So I pray that those people who are in that situation would come for prayer ministry, or perhaps seek advice and talk with their house group, or whatever it is that they need to do. Perhaps there's somebody here who will end up another Emily Henderson out in Uganda, or wherever it is. I don't know. Perhaps that was the work. Emily didn't know that that was the work that had been prepared for her until she got there on a visit. And that was the work that was uncovered for her. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love for each one of us. Lord Jesus, we are overcome by the fact that of your sacrificial death on our behalf. Holy Spirit, we thank you for our new birth as children of our Father, that we are new creations in you. Lord, guide us into those works which you have prepared ahead for us to do. Let us work together for the praise and glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear the needs of those around us, so that we, in the power of the Spirit, may fulfill the law of Christ, the new law of love. Amen.